Okay.
Sindel, thank you once again for making time out of your busy schedule. We know it wasn't easy, but you made time. We are really grateful. So first of all, can you please introduce yourself to everyone listening to this podcast right now?
Hello, Gabriel. Of course, I can introduce myself. My name is Sandell Taylor. I am currently representing my heritage as Mrs. Germany World through the Mrs. World organization, which is the largest pageant for married women. I am an Army veteran spouse, a mother of two, an educator, and a lover of doing things in my community. I am a heart health advocate, and recently I am trying to start my own nonprofit called the Haircut Foundation, which will be providing free haircuts to veterans, low-income individuals, homeless, and so much more.
Okay, so how was your background? I mean, how was your childhood and your upbringing like? Were you from a rich, a poor, or a middle-income family?
My background and my childhood. I grew up in a low to middle income family. I didn't really have much. And when I was 17 years old, my father actually had a heart attack and stroke right after I graduated high school that left him paralyzed on his left hand side, which is one of the reasons why I started actually getting into advocating for heart health awareness. And growing up in a household of five boys, we were trying to pay for mortgages and housing at a very young age. And unfortunately, I lost my childhood home right after I turned 18. And I decided to move about an hour away, which may not seem like a lot at that point, but when you're 18 and you don't know anybody, it can be. And I moved in with my mother and kind of went from there.
Okay, now, so let's shift our attention from your childhood and your upbringing. Why did you venture into pageantry in particular? Because there are a whole lot of different avenues where your voice could have been heard, but you chose to go into pageantry in particular. What inspired you to go into pageantry?
So, I grew up in the modeling industry. Pageantry wasn't something I started when I was little, but I actually had someone reach out to me that saw me speaking in the community and kind of doing community events and suggested that pageantry would be a good thing for me. I did do modeling competitions and bikini competitions growing up, but nothing like pageantry. So the first time I ever actually competed in a pageant was in 2015. I competed in the Miss Pennsylvania American Beauty pageant, and in that pageant system, I was honored to place first runner-up and win the overall interview award, which is so special to me because I won the highest interview score out of everyone that day that competed. So it was really, really fun for me. And then I went on and I competed in the Miss Pennsylvania America system, which is a large system for married women.
Okay, now, was pageantry what you wanted to do since you were little, or you just met it on the road when you were growing up?
In the Mrs. America system, I competed for 3 years for the title of Mrs. Pennsylvania America. And I was honored to finally win the crown in 2018, and it was just amazing experience. And then most recently, I competed again representing my heritage as Miss Germany World in the Mrs. World organization, recently last December in Las Vegas. So it's just been more recently that I've gotten into pageantry, but I fell in love with it.
Okay, so I read from an article online and I did a little research about you, and I got to know that you are an advocate for heart health. So why did you become an advocate for heart health in the first place?
My teenage days are not full of the same drive that I have now. Growing up as a teenager, I was bullied a lot in high school, and I would say now that I didn't always make the best decisions, but I made some really amazing friends that I'm still friends with today. And while although I feel that your past defines you as far as who you become, I don't feel that your past should be held against you. So even though I never did anything crazy, there are definitely some things that, as a teenager, you look back on and you think, why did I do that? So it was more or less just growing up, having fun, walking around everywhere, and again, kind of just going through some bullying and experiences.
There is someone listening to this podcast right now who has thought of going into pageantry, but they feel they are not too perfect to give it a try. What will you tell that person right now?
I became an advocate for heart health because in 2005, like I mentioned, my father had a heart attack and stroke while I was at work that was so severe that he's still paralyzed on the left-hand side today. And at that moment, I realized that there were potential signs that I missed. And I kind of had some guilt for a long time because I thought maybe there was something I could have done. But I was at work and I had to realize that there really wasn't anything that I could have done at that time. But we did always encourage him to quit smoking, to get more nutrition, to get more checkups. And once I realized that it was a little too late for my dad to rehab and to possibly be able to walk again, I had the power now and I had a story that millions of people can resonate with and that I can, again, maybe change the life of one person. In my advocacy work, what I strive for are three main components. One, having everyone learn CPR because you can do it online now. Hands-only CPR is so much beneficial to learning. Two, I love educating people on the signs and symptoms of a heart attack and or possible heart disease. And three, simple tips and tricks that you can put into your daily life that won't cost you any money, that won't cost you nothing but your time that you can start doing today to lead a more heart-healthy life. It's just been fabulous to see educating people on the things that they can do. And most recently, I have actually become an educator with the American Heart Association with the Empowered to Serve ambassadorship, where I take some education that they actually put out and spread it to. And with this education, I'm able to spread it to my community, host again an educational event. And recently, with the COVID-19 situation, I've been educating virtually, not only in my everyday profession, but also utilizing things from the American Heart Association, the European Heart Network, the European Cardiology Society, and all kinds of places that actually are out there to help learn about heart disease and heart awareness to help people literally from across the world. It's been truly phenomenal.
Okay, so as you are aware, you are a female, so you probably understand this question very well. Being a young teenage girl comes with a whole lot of emotions and feelings, and one of those feelings is shyness. And going into pageantry is all about being able to network with people. So there's someone who thought of going into pageantry. You advised the person earlier. Now, the person feels motivated to go into pageantry, all right. But one thing which is going to pull that person back is the feeling of shyness. Because pageantry is all about networking. So if you are shy to network, it will affect you in diverse ways. So, what will you tell that person also, that little girl or that young girl who is shy to network with people? What will you tell that person also?
So if there's someone listening to this who has thought of going into pageantry, but they feel that they are not too perfect to give it a try, what would I tell that person? I would tell that person that you do not have to be perfect. While yes, if your listeners are seeing my photo, I do have blonde hair. I am not skinny by any means. I am a true size 6 to 8. I am a mom. I'm a mother of two kids, so I have hips, and I have curves, and it's not about how you look, it's about how you feel inside and what the message is that you are sending out to the world. So I would tell you two things. One, get up and do it. And two, don't think that you are not enough.
Okay, so you are a wife, a mother, a teacher, a beauty queen, and you are also into pageantry. How are you able to balance all of this? Because even we, the young teenagers, high school and house chores, just those small things, we are not even able to balance it very well. So how are you able to balance all these things?
There are a lot of young girls who are too shy to network with people. And so, one of the things that I could tell those people, these younger women who might be shy to networking, is look for a mentor or a friend who's willing to help you kind of get started. It's okay to be shy. Both of my kids are really shy. One of the things I've actually been doing recently is I actually joined a group of women. It's called the Voice of Our Child. And it's a networking group for children across the whole world. And we gather on Zoom and we talk about different topics every week. There's another organization that I've also joined, which is World Women Leading Change. And they also have a kids advocacy group on. And the World Women Leading Change also has a children's advocacy group that again meets on Zoom that hosts again children from around the world. So I've been actually getting my children involved with that so that they could become more socially able to connect with people again, especially during COVID-19. They can't go out and play with their friends, they can't go down the street and play with the neighbor. Of course, that is now changing with the world opening up, but this is another way to network. And again, it brings children from around the world. So they're learning about culture. They're learning about history. They're learning about their favorite toys, their favorite movies, you know, what makes them nervous. And they're realizing that they have a connection with these other children. So I would recommend to look out for one of those organizations or join the two that I mentioned. Once again, that is the Voice of Our Child and World Women Leading Change.
All this while you were facing all the challenges in your life, as young as you were, what kept you going?
So there were a lot of challenges in my life that I faced while I was growing up and while I was competing. What kept me going was my family and my amazing friends. I have friends that I've had since I was in high school that led me through surviving domestic violence, homelessness, and then I met who is now my best friend, my husband. In 2010, we started dating, and he's really been my rock and my solid person. But above all else, what kept me going was in my heart of hearts, I knew that I was meant for something because God kept me here. Going through domestic violence and surviving that, thinking that at any moment your life could be taken away from you, because I've had that actual thought. And then re-emerging as a young woman with an infant and trying to refine yourself, you struggle with depression. And all of these people helped me through that. And so God told me that it wasn't my time because I could have lost my life to domestic violence. I could have lost my life to homelessness, but God said no, not one time, not two times, but three times. And so that's when I knew I was meant for more.
Okay, so you are a wife, a mother, a teacher, a beauty queen, and you are also into pageantry. How are you able to balance all of this? Because even we, the young teenagers, high school and house chores, just those small things, we are not even able to balance it very well. So how are you able to balance all these things?
Yes, I am a wife, a mother, a teacher, and also a beauty queen. How am I able to balance all of these? It's not easy. It came with a lot of trial and error. The first time I competed, I had no idea really what I was doing. And I learned and I watched and I took a lot of notes. And then I kind of started to get better and better and better each year. But again, it was about having amazing friends who didn't give up on me and who weren't afraid of telling me that I wasn't getting it all together. Now I have a communications calendar. So my husband and I put almost everything on our calendar and we sit down and we talk about the events that are coming up and we talk about different things that we want to do in our lives, which we've always talked, but now it was just on paper and it's really helped us to stay organized. I think the key to balancing things is twofold. One, you and your family or your support system has to be on the same page. And they may not, quote unquote, truly understand why you might be doing this, but as long as they're like on the same page of you, you're set. Two, organization is key. You need to know what you need to do and you need to know when you need to do it. If you have that timeline of when you need to have all your stuff ready to go, then you'll be able to organize yourself so much better.
I would like to ask this question. When did you start pageantry and how many titles have you won so far?
When did I start pageantry and how many titles have I won so far? So again, I started true pageantry, meaning competing in actual larger beauty pageants in 2015. I did again compete in modeling competitions and bikini competitions and even calendar searches. And the very first title I ever won was in 2018. And then recently, I was appointed a title. So you actually have to apply for the title and then the committee selects you and gives you the title. And that was my recent title, which is Mrs. Germany World. So I've only actually won two titles, technically, but I've won a lot of awards as well. Some of those include the Director's Leadership Award, the Photogenic Award, and of course, my favorite award, which was winning the Mrs. Congeniality Award twice in a row, one in 2017 and the second in 2018. And typically, it's not common in the pageantry world to win Mrs. Congeniality and win the title. And I was so honored that these amazingly accomplished women named me Mrs. Congeniality, which means, you know, basically the friendliest girl, which I would give anybody the shirt off my back if they actually knew me. I'd give you my shoes if you need it. You know, I'm always the one backstage with extra bobby pins, hairpins, you name it, I have it. Because genuinely, that's who I am. I'm a genuinely giving person. So it's been my favorite award that I've ever gotten. And recently, I did win an international award at Mrs. World again. So just to remind you, Mrs. World is the largest pageant for married women. And it's actually one of the oldest pageants in the United States history of pageantry. And I didn't know I was going to win an award at Mrs. World, but I totally did. And it was so cool. And I get all excited about it because I never expected to win this award, but I won an award for most whimsical costume. And my costume was a traditional drindle that was black and red. And I had added a little red cape to extinguish Little Red Riding Hood, which is originally a different style of fairy tale, but the most famous version was actually the German version, of course, coming from my heritage of Germany. To top my costume off, I had this crazy idea that I wanted to have a big bad wolf because, you know, you might know who I am with the little red cape and the basket, but it was like in my head, I was like, I have to have a big bad wolf. I have to have a big bad wolf because, you know, Little Red Riding Hood has a big bad wolf, right? So I'm talking to my husband about it and I come up with this idea that I'm going to get a big stuffed animal wolf and that I was going to put him on a skateboard so that it would look like he was in his bed and I would drag the skateboard across the stage. And I had no idea how I was going to put this costume together. So I started planning it before I actually went to the national and international pageant. And I had to put it together and take it apart. And I had to keep trying it out to make sure that it was going to stay together. And I had to take it apart again because I had to travel with it. So I'm sitting here figuring out, okay, how am I going to do this? And then once I actually get to the competition, how am I going to do this again? In between rehearsals, appearances, the amazing events that they had, I had to basically remake this costume in my hotel room with what I brought with me. And it turned out great. I'm going to send you a picture of it because I just loved it. And like I said, I didn't know that I was going to win an award, but it was so cool because my vision came true. And I really feel like the wolf stole the show. He's so cute. I still have him. He's a little stuffed animal wolf. And I really feel like he's the reason why I won because he was just so cute.
I want you to enlighten us on your free haircut project that you are running and what inspired you to venture into such a generous act.
Absolutely. So the program that I do is in progress. I've been doing this for 10 years, but now I am trying to actually turn it into a nonprofit. I have all my paperwork ready to rock. I'm just trying to get the funding situated because it's actually a little expensive to start a nonprofit. And so it's called the Haircut Foundation or the Haircut Project. And for the past 10 years, I've been giving free haircuts to veterans, homeless women and men and children, shelters, children's hospital, through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, through Dress for Success, basically anyone in need of a haircut. And the reason why I started this adventure, so to speak, is I've been a licensed hairdresser now since 2005. When I graduated high school, I was actually a licensed cosmetologist in my state. And I went through some programs during a very negative time in my life, and I've gone through homelessness myself. So kind of coming full circle, I wanted something that I could do every single day that I could actually give back to my community. And I thought, what better way than to provide somebody a free haircut? And I realized with doing these services how much a haircut can actually impact somebody's life, which most people don't even think. How much does a haircut impact somebody's life? A haircut could make or break somebody getting a job. A haircut could make or break somebody's day. A haircut can literally change somebody's attitude towards what's going on in their life. And so for me, being able to provide that skill, which really doesn't cost me anything, I already have my shears, I already have my clippers, you know, I already have all my cleaning implements. It really just cost me my time to be able to potentially change somebody's life for the better. It was like a no-brainer. So to see some of these veterans that haven't had haircuts in years kind of transform, and to see, you know, people who may be going through chemo, you know, shave off their head because they're losing their hair in finding their strength is really, really truly amazing to be a part of. And it's something that I want to expand. So my goal is to actually have a mobile van so that I could travel across the country and do this, as well as a portable generator so I can go into haircut homeless camps where there is no like roads. And then eventually I'd like to have a chapter of my nonprofit in every state across America and then in different countries of the world, so that this way every single person has that access to that free haircut, especially if they're going through a hard time, which I find so valuable. So that's kind of where that all started. And like I said, it's really just been amazing.
What are some of the problems that you faced so far in your pageantry journey? And how have you been able to overcome all of these?
So some of the problems that I have faced within my pageant journey, I kind of refer to them as challenges. Because anytime you have a problem or a challenge, you know, you need to figure out the solution. So the first major one that I can think of is just getting prepared for the pageant itself, figuring out exactly what it is that I needed, how to go about getting it and implementing it. The second one that I can think of is bullying. This actually happened to me from a contestant, and it was the year that I was actually giving up my title and crowning my successor. And I had just experienced a lot of bullying, and thankfully the director stepped right in and kind of handled the situation. And I was very, very grateful for that. And that was really the only time I ever experienced that. And the third thing is fitness. So for me, interview and being on stage comes very naturally. But over the past couple years, I've had some challenges with my weight due to having a heart issue. So not necessarily being overweight, but just having challenges with, you know, being the most fit I could be. I had to take a few years off of working out. And then I had to start from scratch and basically see if any of the workouts were going to affect my heart issue, which thankfully it did not. But that took me quite some time to kind of get back into the swing of things. So I would say that those were my three top challenges.
So naturally, with my platform being heart health awareness, and I encourage people to do things health and through nutrition and dieting, that was really hard for me to hear. But going through pageantry has really made me not only develop a little bit of a thicker skin, it's also made me develop true friendship and true conversations, which I never thought I would have. Have I done something that I regret doing? I think we can all say that there was something that we regret. However, I wouldn't change anything that I did, because going through the journey that I went through made me the person that I became. What I will say is that I am saddened that sometimes a decision that you make, whether good or bad, small or large, can affect your life forever. And I wish that more people would be open and loving and be giving of a second chance, because I really believe that everybody deserves a second chance, and it's unfortunate that some people will never experience that. So while I don't say that I don't regret anything, I definitely wouldn't change anything for the world.
What would you tell my teenagers who are listening to today's episode and they are thinking of, oh, heart diseases affect only grown-ups?
I would tell your teenage listeners that that is absolutely false. Kids of all ages can be affected by heart disease, and some children are even born with a congenital heart disease. And so I would tell them that it really starts now. At whatever age that you are listening to this podcast, you need to start now implementing simple things in your life to become more heart healthy and live an active lifestyle. So some of the things that you can do right away are exercise more frequently. And that could be anything from walking to riding your bike, or, you know, depending on your activity level, it could be throwing and catching a ball, or just going outside and stretching. Even doing yoga is very, very helpful. And if you're not able to do something physically, the easiest thing to do is meditation and smiling. Statistics show that by meditation and smiling more often, you actually increase your longevity of your life. So I would recommend for anyone listening, especially your teens, to start now trying to implement some of those things that are very easy that they can do right this minute.
Your name, how is it pronounced? Is it Sandel or Sandel?
Yes, you actually got it. So my first name is Sandel. So like San and Del. And a lot of people actually ask me where my name comes from. So it depends on whether or not you have actually seen the movie Where My Name Comes From. My name actually comes from a actress who played in Conan the Barbarian. It's very, very famous in the U.S. With Arnold Schwarzenegger. So most people know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is. So you can actually look up the movie if you want. Okay, and so the actress who played in that movie, her name is Sandel Bergman. And my mom loved her so much and loved the name so much that that's where I got my name from. So it is pronounced Sandel, like D-E-L-L. It's just spelled with an H.
Okay. So why do you often use the Sandel? Or you can use both?
Yes. So I have a model name. So I spell, my legal spelling of my name is S-A-N-D-A-H-L. That's how it's legally spelled on my birth certificate. But a lot of people can't pronounce it correctly. So a long, long, long time ago when I started modeling, when I was actually about 17, 18 years old, I actually started spelling it differently. I actually started spelling it how it's pronounced, S-I-N-D-E-L, so Sindel. Because people just weren't able to pronounce my name correctly. And this was a way that I could ensure that not only people could find me easily, but that it would distinguish me from this very well-known actress. And on top of that, it's really easy to spell. So there are two spellings of my name, but one is more for modeling and the other one is more for like everyday life. So, you know, you can find me either way.
Now, there's this issue which is going on in the world, which is Mr. Floyd's issue, which happened recently. You are in a biracial marriage. You have a kid who is not biracial, and you also have another who is biracial. So how do you see what happened recently with Mr. Floyd and the issue of racism as a whole? How do you see it?
Okay, so wrapping up, I know that you wanted me to talk about the fact that I am in a biracial marriage. So for your listeners, I am a Caucasian white woman and my husband is black. I have a Caucasian son out of a different relationship and we have a biracial multicultural daughter together, me and my husband. My husband and I have been together for 10 years and we've been married for 5, and he's truly the yin to my yang. And you wanted me to talk about the recent issues with the George Floyd murder that has been nationally broadcast throughout the world and how that's affected me. So let me tell you how that's affected me. For a long time in history, injustice towards people of color, whether that's Black, Hispanic, Latin, even Native American, Asian, racism of any kind is not tolerable. And until those lives matter, Black lives matter, we cannot continue to heal our world because we are still not equal. Although in the past 50 some years, there has been tremendous change, especially in America. It's not enough. It's not enough until the officers that were involved in Mr. Floyd's death actually are charged and held accountable in the court of law for his actions. Now, I'm aware that, yes, there are all kinds of people murdered by police every day. There are cops murdered by other people. And yes, I am saddened for all of this. But we need that accountability in whatever capacity it is for those people, especially when it could be potentially racially motivated, to be held accountable. Because for so long in history, it hasn't been. It hasn't been held accountable, and it hasn't been fair. I think the other thing to point out about this murder was that every single person across the world has been affected by COVID-19 in some capacity. As a nation, we are emotional right now. We are kind of raw in how we're feeling. There is a lot happening. And so I think because this was so publicized and it was so intense that it did outrage some people. And with the lack of mental health awareness and the lack of therapy available to people, unfortunately, and in addition, negative people taking the protests and turning them into riots affects the whole world. But it's brought to the forefront a topic that needs to be had. And I hope that your listeners understand this message, because I know that they are younger and you are not born racist. It's taught. And if you're listening right now and maybe you're experiencing that, you're realizing that racism has surrounded you, speak up and say, you know, I don't believe that. I don't feel that way. And here's what I'm going to do to help. On my social media, I posted ways that people can help from across the world. They're simple. Speak out when any injustice happens. And don't be afraid to use your voice. And if you can't speak up publicly, which is okay, because I understand there are some people living in fear of losing their job, living in fear of losing resources, living in fear of backlash and violence upon them for speaking up. There are things that you can do in private and in silence, quote unquote. And I use the quotes to say that you're still using your voice, but it's being done not publicly. You can call, you can write letters, you can write emails, you can do so many things to actually make a change. And I hope that you are doing that. This world needs love, and love is the only thing that can conquer hate. We need to love each other. We need to be open-minded to understand that it's okay if we don't agree. It's okay if we don't see eye to eye. But at the end of the day, I still love you and I still respect you. And above all else, love will never fail.
Wrapping up, I want you to use 2 minutes or less to encourage my young teenagers who are listening right now.
I need to use 2 minutes to encourage your teenage listeners. And this is what I have to say. Every single person who's listening right now, you are truly amazing. Every single one of you. I'm so glad that you are listening to what we are talking about today, because it's so important for young people to get out there and get involved. I'm so proud of you. The second thing that I would tell you is that every single one of you has a gift. Maybe it was given to you by your parents. Maybe it was given to you by the God that you believe in. Maybe it's been passed down through generations and generations. But every single one of you listening has something that you can give to the world. Whether it's you're really good at writing, whether you're an amazing singer, whether you can cook. And what my advice would be is to go out and film yourself doing that one thing that you're great at, and then film yourself teaching it to other people, and then send it to everyone you know. Because through education, we can change the world. Through teaching people that one good thing that you're good at for free, whether that's, again, through videoing, through typing, through podcasts like the one that I'm on right now, we can really make a difference. And I want to encourage all of you to go out and make a difference in your community,
in whatever way you can. Start small. Kindness goes a long way. Encouragement goes a long way. Thankfulness goes a long way. And right now, I cannot be more grateful and more thankful to be with you all today. So thank you for listening to me, and get out there and kick butt.
Finally, where can people reach out to you, and what are your final words?
So you can find me on any social media at Sandahl, that's S-A-N-D-A-H-L, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter. And of course, if you check the link in Gabriel's podcast, I'm sure he's going to link some of my social media below. Reach out to me, say hello, introduce yourselves. I'd be happy to say some words of encouragement to you or send you some information. And just thank you again so much, Gabriel, for having me on today. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy.
I really want to thank you very, very much for all you've done so far, because it's not been easy so far, rescheduling and all those things, but still you've been able to make time. Because you see, initially when I told some of my friends that I was having an interview with Mrs. Germany World, a lot of them were doubting that, oh, how are you going to get in touch with Mrs. Germany World? You see, because in Ghana here, for instance, someone will just go for a school project, and when they win, they will act as if they don't know you. But you didn't show anything like that, so I really want to appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for having me on. Representing Germany in the Mrs. World organization has really been an amazing opportunity. And for the listeners who are listening, you know, the Mrs. World pageant is one of the largest pageants for married women, and it has over 80 countries that participate in this pageant. And so last year, they opened up the experience to women who have that heritage. So through the heritage that I have with my great-grandmother on my dad's side, being actually from Germany, from Cologne, Germany, and kind of being passed down through generations, I was able to represent Germany as the country this past year. And honestly, I have to say that that experience was once in a lifetime. And even though I know your podcast is geared towards teens, there are pageants out there for people at different ages. And I always tell people that pageantry is what gives me a microphone and a platform, so to speak, to kind of reach out to people like yourself across the whole world and talk about my story, so that maybe my goal is that one person listening thinks, oh, well, I can do this too. Or, oh my God, this was so inspiring. Now let me tell my story. Because I really believe that through our stories, we can really change global education. I think we can really affect people all across the world and get that message out that it's never too late to go after your dream, never give up on yourself, and surround yourself with amazing people. And through the Mrs. World organization, I've been able to meet so many amazingly talented women from across the world that are now forever my friends and my sister queens. That's kind of what we call each other. And so I can contact ladies from 48 countries. That's how many countries were represented. And so think about that when, you know, you're looking at, well, what do you want to do next in your life? You know, think about the fact that now I can call somebody in 48 countries. Like, that's truly amazing and phenomenal. And for anyone who, you know, again, is out there listening, I would highly recommend, you know, if that's something you're interested in doing, is speaking about your story, getting more out about your community, helping your community. Pageantry really has a way of doing that and connecting you with some phenomenal people. And, you know, I'm not even going to lie, it's really fun to dress up. So, you know, have fun with it.
Okay. I want to wish you all the best and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you so much again for having me on. It was so great speaking with you. And, you know, just again, for all your teens, never give up on your dreams and keep going.
Okay. So my regards to everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I believe you really got inspired. Please make sure to subscribe so that you get new messages each and every week to get you motivated throughout your week. Thank you so much once again for making time. I want you to stay blessed and stay safe, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.